Living your life for Jesus Christ is joy unspeakable. It is a joy, and it is a pleasure. It is a delight to see other Christians discover that joy. And that's why I'm excited about so many young people plugging into ministry, but so many of you in your senior years recognizing that one of the things that millennials need the most of is influence from senior citizens. Did you know that? New research coming out. I just had lunch with John Studenroth, who serves as a chaplain of sorts at Kutztown University, and he spoke of the significance of senior citizens on the lives of millennials right now. When you retire, don't check out. Hello. All right? Hello. All right? There is no greater pleasure than to give your life away for the sake of evangelism and discipleship. There is no greater pleasure than to give your life away for the sake of introducing other people to Jesus Christ and for the sake of helping people to grow in that relationship. Give it away. Give your life away. That's what Jesus says. Why? Because nothing else lasts forever. Let me tell you something that's going to happen with all your stuff. You're going to leave it all behind. And someday it's going to show up at a flea market. Some of it is already, it's already, you're not even dead yet. It's already in a landfill. That's why Jesus says this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Jesus said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, now pay attention to this. Sometimes people ask why this little section's here, and I'll get to it in a little bit. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. You'll hate the one, you'll love the other. You'll be devoted to the one, you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for how you've blessed us here at Trinity. We thank you that you invite us to join you and to give our lives away for the sake of what will be eternal in nature, what will last forever. Help us to heed the warnings that Jesus gives here, but then also to see the benefits and to see the joy, joy unspeakable that comes in living for you and serving you. I pray in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Jesus is teaching here about sound investing, sound investments. He's teaching on life investments. Some people are good at picking stocks. Some people are great at picking stocks. Some people not so great. You know, what's the secret? Well, Jesus kind of peels back the onion here and teaches us what's really important about picking something to invest in. He teaches here on life investments, life-to-life investments. Pouring out your life for someone, not something. And the first thing he warns us about is that poor investments equal diminishing returns. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Why? Why not? We're tempted to do that. I'm tempted to do that. He says, hey, moths eat them, rust destroys them, thieves break in and steal. You good people know that I value guns. I value guns because my father did. He passed them along. What I have is by way of guns is what my dad gave me. I'll never sell them. I'll pass them on. But I have this to say. One time, I'm just about to cry. One time, somehow or another, my case got a little moist. I don't know if it was mist or what, but I put my Browning 12-gauge semi-automatic in that case. And when I opened it up the next time, guess what? There was rust on that gun. Oh, you know, I don't want to get into it. It's inevitable. Jesus is talking about three different kinds of wealth to these people. Clothing was a source of wealth to them. Moth could destroy that. Anything metal, rust, could diminish the value of. And certainly there was thievery everywhere. And Jesus says, watch out. Don't put all your stock, don't put all your confidence and anchor all your self-esteem in gathering stuff. In this life, you're going to be tempted to spend and to collect things that are going to end up in a landfill, collect things that are end up at a flea market. You're going to have to fight this temptation. I'm going to have to fight this temptation. Jesus is speaking to us all, and he says, watch out. This is the truth about your stuff. You leave it all behind. And so be forewarned, he says. Poor investments. Investments in things, the stuff of this earth, yield diminishing returns. And so be careful. A certain man had been a faithful builder for an employer for many years, and at one point, his employer decided to take a long trip, expensive trip. Before leaving, he left his builder with the plans for an ideal house. The employer said, build it according to these specs. Spare no expense. This is a special project. I want this house to be a good house for a special reason. But the builder thought of the many years he had worked for small wages, and he resented it, and he had some bitterness in his heart. And he decided that while his employer was away, that he would make a profit for himself. It was his turn. And so he substituted cheap materials whenever he could, wherever he could. And on his return, the employer observed the house. And he said, you've served me well these many years. In reward, I've planned this house for you. It's yours. It's yours to own. It's yours to live in. Can you imagine how the builder felt? I just cheated myself. I just cheated myself out of something that could have been a real treasure. And this is what Jesus is saying. Watch out. Don't shortchange yourself. You're only here on earth for a very brief time, but you're in heaven for all eternity. So be careful. Don't store up treasures here where you'll leave them to people who don't appreciate them. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Sound investments equal eternal rewards. And eternal rewards, eternal returns are solid returns. And so sound investments equal eternal returns, eternal rewards. And here's a truth. This is a truth about you. I believe it. It's a truth about me. Deep down, I believe every one of us wants our life to count for something. We want to make a positive impact on the world around us. Simply put, we want to make a difference with our life And Jesus told us how to do that. He said, whoever wants to be great among you must become a servant. That's what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life away. If you're going to be a difference maker, if you're going to make an impact, you need to give your life away. You need to become a servant. You need to become one who uses what you have, what you can do for the sake of the gospel. I'm really thankful for people who are full of artsiness and craftiness. Lynn said today he's not really an arts and crafts guy, and I'm in his company. All right, but I'm really thankful for people who can do stuff like this. I mean, for the life of me, when I saw this, I could never imagine that, how to do that. Somebody sees this stuff, they see a theme, and wham, there it is. And so all week now, you have kids coming in, and the visual imagery of Cave Quest is right there, and it helps us to bring home the message. And so God's calling us to give ourselves away, to give our life away. You see, Jesus calls us not only to come to him, but to go for him. Give your life away for the cause of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Living Bible says this: it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend our life helping others. And so the responsibility that we have is to stewardship. You are called to be a steward of God's good gifts. I am called to be a steward of God's good gifts. A steward is one who manages the wealth of another. He manages the property of another. He's not the owner. Rather, he is one who acts on behalf of the owner. And so we need to get a proper perspective, a biblical worldview of who we are and what we have. Time, talent, treasure, health, intelligence, personality, influence, your skills, your gifts, your earning power, your possessions. These are all gifts from God, meant for us not to keep to ourselves, but to give away to the world in Jesus' name and for his sake. What we have is not really ours. It's God's. God loans it to us for a little while, and he watches with great interest to see what we're going to do with what he's given us. Interestingly enough, God uses money and material possessions, time and talents as a test of our integrity. How are we going to use these things? Are we going to use them to benefit ourselves in this life, or are we going to invest them in such a way that we build a heavenly portfolio? You see, here's the benefits of stewardship. Jesus over and over teaches us that it's not wrong to think of reward. He's offering reward. The word occurs in the New Testament 40 times. And so we ought to see one translation of this verse as legitimate: lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The benefits of stewardship is this: stewards have stock options in heaven. God offers me the opportunity to build literally a heavenly portfolio. It's our time, it's our talent, it's our money, our health, our intelligence, our personality, our influence. These are all gifts from God. And certainly God calls us to go out into the world, the corporate world, the world of construction, the world of banking, the world of education, and to make our mark. But not merely for personal benefit. God wants us to use our health, our intelligence, our personality, our influence to enjoy life, to live life to the fullest, but somehow our lives have to be poured into the lives of other people. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul says this: they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. He's giving an eyewitness account, he's receiving an eyewitness account of how they came to know Christ. And he says, you turn from idols to serve the living God, to give your life away to the living God, to wait for his Son from heaven. Well, how is this possible, being that we're so tempted to do the opposite? Jesus gives us the key in a wise saying for life. And I hope that you would not see this as a cliche. I hope that you would not see this simply as something that's fit for a coffee mug or whatever. I hope that you'll take it and live it, breathe it, pray it, write about it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where your treasure is, what do you have your eye on? What lights up your life? Scripture tells us again and again and again to keep our eyes on Jesus. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where your passion is, there your heart is. And so here's the truth. It's a hard truth. Your money, your time, your talents flow effortlessly toward that which is your God. Your money flows effortlessly toward that which is your God. Your time, your talents, your passion, it just flows effortlessly. The movement of your money expresses the movement of your heart. The movement of your talents, your treasures, the way they're used expresses the movement of your heart. And what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, let's be rich towards God. Let's be rich towards God in the sense that who we are and what we do, what we have, what we're able to do is used for the benefit of leading people to Jesus. That's why Denny Kritzky, fresh off of a master's, has a mechanical engineering degree from Penn State University, got his master's degree in engineering from Penn State University. The first thing he did when he got his master's degree was sign up to go with Campus Crusade for Christ to Kazakhstan. And he spent 10 months there. That's the first thing he did with that piece of paper. He's been an inspiration to many young people around them. That's why some people are deciding that their Mercedes is going to missions. They're trading it in. They're giving to missions. They're going to drive a Honda. They're going to drive a Chevy. Don't want to offend anyone. Listen, Jesus, he's talking about surrender. The surrendered life is the careful life. The sanctified steward uses what belongs to another and handles it very carefully against the day of accounting. There will be a day of accounting. On the other hand, the surrendered life is a carefree life. Losses that devastate the natural man are endured with amazing calm by the sanctified man. For how can he really lose what he has already relinquished? When you have an open hand towards God and say, what's mine is yours, when you experience losses, you experience them with calm because you worship a sovereign God who can restore you to wealth as quickly as he did Joseph in Genesis chapters 38 to 50. But Jesus gives another caution in verses 22 and 23. And he says to you, keep your eyes on the prize. Say it with me. Keep your eyes on the prize. Why is this here? It looks out of place if you're just doing a casual reading. Now, you always have to ask the question, why is this here? You look at this scripture, it means something. It means something profoundly significant when it comes to this discussion. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, it is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? What is he saying? He's saying, beware of greed. Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. You see, greed is different from other sins. Greed is very different from adultery. Nobody says, oh, you're not my wife. Nobody says that. Everybody who's committing adultery knows they're committing adultery, right? But all of us commit the sin of greed and we don't even know it. Greed is different than other sins. And this is why Jesus says it is an eye sin. It darkens your eye spiritually. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Materialism has the power to steal our heavenly reward because it diverts our vision and our passion. We get drunk on the desire for material things or for pleasurable experiences. It steals our hearts. And that's why Jesus ends the scripture by asking, what is it that you will serve? What will you serve? No one can serve two masters. Not the pastor, not the parishioner. You will hate one, you will love the other. You'll be devoted to one, you'll despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to money. You cannot love God and love money at the same time. And so I encourage you today to be prayerful about this, to guard your heart against a fascination with acquiring stuff, a fascination for acquiring wealth. Be careful and heed the message that Jesus is telling us. What is he telling us here today? We are not permanent residents of this world. We are sojourners. We are passing through. When we admit this fact, everything else falls into place. That was the secret behind the great lives of the saints in Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 11, forgive me. They walked as seeing him who is unseen. They were looking for the city whose architect and builder is God. And this is how we must see ourselves. And when we do, we see that we are stewards of the things that God has given us. Our money, our intellects, our education, our homes, our position, our personalities are to be used for the service of God, for the gospel of Jesus. The worldly man thinks that he owns these things. But the follower of Jesus says, I am not the owner of these things. They do not belong to me. I have them on lease. I am a custodian. I cannot take them with me. I can only use them for God's glory. And the opportunity does not last forever. We must seize the day. We must do it now. I must be careful about my attitude toward what I have been given. I must do what Jesus tells me to do. Now, this is not a call for a life of extreme denial or asceticism. Believers are to enjoy life fully and authentically, but the Christian does not hold tightly to what he has in the world. His possessions and privileges, whatever they may be, are not his focus. Let me close with a quote from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He put it this way, and I'm quoting him exactly. He said, I do not cling to these things. They do not become the center of my life and existence. I do not live for them or dwell upon them constantly in my mind. They do not absorb my life. On the contrary, I hold them loosely. I am not governed by them. Rather, I do govern them. And as I do this, I am steadily securing and safely laying up for myself treasures in heaven. We have such great opportunities. Today, this week, this year, to live for Jesus Christ. To invest in people, our resources, our talents, our gifts, our property. It needs to be a part of this day's plan. Good intentions, do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And we are full of them. You're good people. You come here today, you got dressed up, you even smell nice. We are full of good intentions to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, but good intentions do not build that portfolio. Trade in good intentions for good deeds done today for the glory of God, for the gospel of Christ, and for the making of disciples. Do something. Give something. Live something. Amen. Father in heaven, you've made us the way we are. We're male, female. We're gifted with a certain kind of personality. We've been given a measure of wealth. We've been given certain possessions and material privileges. Please help us to guard against the intense and subtle temptations that go along with this subject, and to spring forth in faith, offering you our life in dedicated service, and to enjoy the satisfaction of seeing lives changed and seeing so many people living out the gospel and enjoying the benefits of salvation. I pray this in His name, and all God's people said, amen.